The Lie Tree by Frances Harding, read by Amelia Fox. Chapter 1. Exiles. The boat moved with a nauseous, relentless rhythm, like someone chewing on a rotten tooth. The islands, just visible through the mist, also looked like teeth, Faith decided. Not fine, clean Dover teeth, but jaded, broken teeth, jutting crookedly amid the wash of the choppy grey sea. The mailboat chugged its dogged way through the waves, greasing the sky with smoke.
"Osprey,"
said Faith through chattering teeth and pointed. Her six-year-old brother, Howard, twisted round, too slow to see the great bird as its pale body and dark-fringed wings vanished into the mist. Faith winced as he shifted his weight on her lap. At least he had stopped demanding his nursemaid.
"Is that where we are going?"
Howard squinted at the ghostly islands ahead.
"Yes, how?"
Rain thudded against the thin wooden roof above their heads. The cold wind blew in from the deck, stinging Faith's face. In spite of the noise around her, Faith was sure that she could hear faint sounds coming from the crate on which she sat. Rasps of movement, breathy slithers of scale on scale. It pained Faith to think of her father's little Chinese snake inside, weak with the cold, coiling and uncoiling itself in panic with every tilt of the deck. Behind her, raised voices competed with the keening of the gulls and the thud, thud, thud of the boat's great paddles. Now that the rain was setting in, everybody on board was squabbling over the small, sheltered area towards the stern. There was room for the passengers, but not for all of the trunks. Faith's mother, Myrtle, was doing her best to claim a large share for her family's luggage with considerable success. Sneaking a quick glance over her shoulder, Faith saw Myrtle waving her arms like a conductor while two deckhands moved the sundry trunks and crates into place. Today, Myrtle was waxen with tiredness and shrouded to the chin with shawls. But as usual, she talked through and over everybody else, warm, bland and unabashed, with a pretty woman's faith in others' helpless chivalry.
"Thank you. There, right there. Well, I am heartily sorry to hear that, but it cannot be helped. On its side, if you do not mind. Well, your case looks very durable to me. I am afraid my husband's papers and projects will not endure the weather, so... The Reverend Erasmus Sunderley, the renowned naturalist. How very kind. I am so glad that you do not mind."
Beyond her, round-faced Uncle Miles was napping in his seat, blithely and easily as a puppy on a rug. Faith's gaze slipped past him to the tall, silent figure beyond. Faith's father, in his black, priestly coat, his broad-brimmed hat overshadowing his high brow and hooked nose. He always filled Faith with awe. Even now he stared out towards the grey horizons with his unyielding, basilisk stare, distancing himself from the chilly downpour, the reek of bilge and coal smoke, and the ignominious arguing and jostling. Most weeks she saw more of him in the pulpit than she did in the house, so it was peculiar to look across and see him sitting there. Today she felt a prickle of pained sympathy. He was out of his element, a lion in a rain-lashed sideshow. On Myrtle's orders, Faith was sitting on the family's largest crate to stop anybody dragging it out again. Usually she managed to fade into the background since nobody had attention to spare for a 14-year-old girl with wooden features and a mud-brown plait. Now she winced under resentful glares, seared by all the embarrassment that Myrtle never felt.